Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for every one of you tonight who will join us. For those of you who have joined us in the past, whether you are following us tonight on live stream with Facebook or you're following us on the Blog Talk Radio platform, we're grateful for you tonight and we appreciate you joining us again. Hopefully our co-host can get in here with us, but more importantly, you. The number to call the show this evening is 563-999-3617. Again, that number to call in for our live dialogue, and we'll put you right on air. You don't necessarily have to give your name unless you want to, but we'll recognize you by the last four digits of your phone number. And the number to call tonight is 563-999-3617. We'd love to have you. We do have a topic tonight. Accordingly, we're going to offer a brief monologue to give you context for our discussion, and then we'll open up the phone lines for you, our listening audience, to get in there and share with us what you thought. We have a good topic here tonight, and hopefully we can get some good feedback from you this evening in our conversation. Last week we had an open mic format, and we're grateful to be able to share. But tonight we have a topic, as I said earlier, and we'll get right into it. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery. And let's get right into it. In 1945, the author George Orwell wrote a fiction book. It was called Animal Farm. That was the first version of it. They rewrote another version in like the 80s or so. This book had many parallels to what we see today. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying in just a second. The main subject in the book, the thesis, was about the control of people by a handful of others who felt they had no other choice but to rely on the leadership of those in control. Now, in 2024, where we are today, is too many people are confused. Many are just exacerbated. They're tired. They're wore out. And they look for leadership in political figures. They look for them in social organizations and groups, or even religious groups. And they are looking for their happiness to be secured by their affiliation there. You see, they're looking for their well-being to be met. But the problem is, the risk that they run is giving up the opportunity to do for themselves and to be their own leader in order for somebody else to assume that role for them. So join me tonight on Talk Straight as we talk from the topic, losing faith in leadership on many levels. Losing faith in leadership on many levels. Call us here, 563-999-3617. That's the number to get in with us here. And we'd love to have you join us. March the 19th, 2024. Wow. Third month of the year is on its way out of here. How about that? Third month of the year is on its way out of here. All right, all right, all right. 7 o'clock p.m., this is Talk Straight. You're on with us. Come on, get in where you fit in, Facebook. Come on, join us here. Post your question, comment, and we'll do our level best to try to respond to it accordingly. All right? Let's go to the Word of God for a second. Let's see what the Word has to say relative of losing faith in leadership on many levels. Let's look at Luke, the 4th chapter, in the 11th verse. It reads like this in the King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I would argue that there are a lot of good people today, especially post-pandemic issues, who fall right in line with what Luke is talking about here. There's someone that has been sent who is endowed by the Spirit of God that will bring resolution, deliverance, hope, vision. Typically, that's what people are looking for on some level or another. But again, I would argue that we've had a crisis and a challenge in leadership. A lot of people are losing confidence, and we'll get into it here. Let's talk first about leadership and followership, okay, and responsibility, those three things. The connection between leadership, being a follower, followership, and responsibility, individual responsibility. Now, when we talk about leadership, we're talking essentially about the ability of an individual or perhaps a group to influence or guide people who are persuaded to follow you as members of an organization or within society or even a team at work, okay? And this is a quality, certain set of characteristics that are required, that cause people to want to follow you, to give up their own drive and to follow you, all right? There are different reasons. When we talk about fellowship or followership, I'm sorry, what we're really looking at is a willingness of an individual or individuals, a group of people, to give it up and go behind a leader. Call responsibility. For what, Dockery? For your outcomes, for your success, for your productivity. Now, what we're talking about when we say responsibility, we're talking about the ability for an individual. Notice what I said. Either the individual or the individual group to act independently of what anyone else says. Now, does that mean you don't have to have a leader? No. It means, though, with or without the leader, you're capable of independently carrying on yourself. No building is any good without the individual brick. You can have 1,000 bricks to make up a wall, a structure, but that wall is no good without each individual brick being able to stand on its own. And a good leader understands that. Now, you can make your own decision, and you give consent and permission to others to act or to speak on your behalf. You don't lose it, you maintain it. That's the responsible thing. So you got your leader, and then you got your follower. But in between there, the individual must be able to consciously make a choice. All right? Now, the first time as social beings we experience leadership is in the family context, right? By way of your parents who provide all the elements of security and care, and they control basically their children that are under their supervision. Now, as we grow up and we expand outside of the context of the family and the home, in the school or in society and the workforce, as adults, we tend to look for that same type of leadership, absorb the responsibility and give it to somebody else so they don't have to worry about it. I talked about responsibilities in it. Well, as adults, what we do is we transfer that trust, the faith that we have in our parents to provide for us in other different areas, such as your clergy or your pastor or your imam or your rabbi, whatever the case may be. You know, the assumption is when we go there to those places of worship that they're going to be responsible for making sure everything's in order and you got a ticket to heaven or wherever you want to go in the afterlife. You understand what I'm saying? All right, but they're the ones that are set up in that structure to look out for you in that religious structure. It's either that or politicians in government. You vote and you elect people to represent you, and you expect that they're going to do what's right by you. As a mayor and president, as a governor, a mayor, a senator, a representative, or a council person, whatever the elected position is, you assume that you won't have to worry about the government where they think is going to do it for you, you know. But how much control do you give them? That's the question. Then we talked about other social organizations, societal groups and what have you. Again, there's a body of leadership there for you, right? And you ask the question, are these people working for me or are they just power hungry? See, a leader is not somebody that's just caught up in their own power, but they are responsive to the needs of those who entrust them with certain things. What are those things? What are those characteristics that typically motivate people to get behind an individual as a leader? What are they looking for? And how is it that this individual as a leader can prove themselves worthy? Well, there are at least four significant things that I'd like to talk about this evening for our discussion here. That typically people look for in authentic leadership. Now, let me stop for a second and explain the difference between assumed leadership and authentic leadership. The assumed leadership occurs when you have somebody who either put themselves in charge or somebody else put them there. You did not genuinely create, or you don't have the charismatic ability to bring people to you from your gift and what have you, but you were selected by a certain group of people based on oftentimes a process that involves politics, power plays. You understand what I'm saying? And you're sharp and keen enough to play the game to get there. Not that you necessarily have good authentic leadership characteristics. Then the authentic leadership is one who naturally has the ability to hear, see, and respond to the needs of people. And that's what makes a way for their leadership. The authentic leader hears, sees, and responds accordingly to the needs of those that are following them. Okay? Now, what are four characteristics there of this authentic leader? Trust. which is based on the leader's ability to convince their followers that they can rely on them in this relationship, whatever the case may be. We're here. For parents, children learn to trust their parents because they provide their day-to-day every needs from infants on, and they associate that with them. But in a greater sense out in society and in the church and in other places, you learn to trust and believe that people are going to do right. So trust is essential as a characteristic of an authentic leader. Then compassion. The authentic leader has enough compassion. What do you mean by that, Doctor? Well, what I mean is that it comes with being able to impress people and have them feel as though you care. You really care about what's best for them. As I said earlier, not you and your interests, your power, but what's best for them. And you lead, you serve, you sacrifice out of an interest for them, what's best for them. This compassion that is needed. Everybody don't have that. Everybody don't have good leadership characteristics of compassion. See, some people assume that I tell you what to do, you do it because I'm the leader, I'm in charge. No, that dog won't hunt. Well, if people trust you, this is what causes them to follow you and to comply, because you've demonstrated the compassion, you see. Then stability. As a leader of any group or any place, those under your leadership are looking for you to provide a vision for stableness that benefits everybody. They trust you enough to believe that you will guide them in that regard, right? Because you demonstrate the ability to be strong, to be steadfast, but at the same time calm. And it seems that the ship is tossed and driven and absorbs a calmness for everybody. You've got to be able to remain calm when everybody else want to jump ship. You got to stay on there. I ain't going to preach. I felt something like that, though. And this provides security. This provides a sense of hope for them, right? Real leadership. That's why they want to follow you, because you provide the experience. Then the last characteristic I want to talk about tonight, and these are not necessarily all encompassing, but these are four things that I want to share with you in our discussion this evening about characteristics of authentic leadership. Hope. The leader provides hope. Now, there's a point for all of us when we can't see what's around the corner. We don't know 100% sure if things are going to last for us, right? But we trust that based on experience and based on certain other factors, we can rely on certain things. The leader provides hope that if we're consistent in our actions and that they're in that position, they're going to do it again and again and again. When we talk about hope in God, we realize that man is limited in his ability. When we think about the text earlier, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So you're guided by some spiritual guide or principle because you're able to provide and fill in certain needs. Good, authentic leader provides hope to the followers, regardless of what context of leadership it is. And so in conclusion there, what I want you to know is that when we think about people losing faith in leadership on many levels in 2024, sadly, we're seeing where in the church world, things have happened. Great many people will say, wait a minute. And it's more young people now who are asking more questions, seeking answers. And I'm not saying this blanket about everybody, but too often, it appears as though many churches or congregations collectively speaking, are having a challenge or issue being able to answer those things. Politicians can't be trusted. Huh? People feel like one robbed the bank, the other drove the getaway car. They can't be trusted. Even in your social organization, there's a breakdown in communication and trust. Poor leadership. Just don't leave folks feeling happy about their membership anymore. To the point that folks are saying, you know what, I can stay at home and I can do it myself. You know, I'll find me something on TV to entertain me. I ain't got to go out there and be with a bunch of other people who I don't like anyway. Uh-oh. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Now, am I suggesting that you should be antithetical to groups or organizations? No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying that there are reasons why many people have lost confidence and faith and thus a lack of interest because of a breakdown and a crisis in leadership in 2024. We should be honest with ourselves about that, how things are dwindling. You look at how separated people are, divided they are, how contentious things are. There's a need for leadership to bring calm, huh? To bring a sense of vision for the future. People need to understand that it's going to get better. You have a responsibility for doing things for yourself. But at the same time, when you share in a community, I talked often about Henry Campbell's Black's Dictionary definition of a citizen, being a member of a political community, or you being around other people. You know, you're not an island by yourself. But if there's poor leadership or lack of leadership, this is what causes people to be divided. We need folk to bring us together, not divide us. You know, you've heard the adage, together we stand. And divided, we shall fall. This young man, two young men, rappers Eric B. and call himself Rakim. 1988, they had a cut called Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. Check it out. And the number to call, 563-999-3617. Check them out. Let's see what they're talking about. Let's see what Rakim and we're talking about. Come on here, bro.
It's a lifetime mission. It's a prison. I listen. In this journey of the journal, I'm the journalist. Am I eternal or an eternalist? I'm about to flow long as I could possibly go. Keep you moving because the crowd says it's so dead. Cuts rip your pants, every beat on the plate. Death call a ambulance. Pull out my weapon and start to squeeze. A magnet at the microphone, murdering MCs. Let's pull a line from my record. I go, yeah, don't. Cause every time I stop, the danger duck. As soon as you try to step off, self-destruct. I came to overcome before I'm gone. By showing and proving and letting ours be born. Then after that, I live forever. You disagree, you say never. Then follow me from century to century. You remember me in history, not a mystery or memory. Drawn by nature, mind made to nature. Since you was the trick, I have to raise you. From the cradle to the grave. But remember, you're not a danger.
Rakim said, follow the leader. Now, what you want to go follow somebody for like that? What you want to listen to that for? That's really on you, ain't it? That's on you, that's on me. I mentioned some of those characteristics of an authentic leader. 3-999-3617. The phone lines are open. Come on, get in here where you fit in here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic, losing faith in leadership on many levels. And as I was speaking earlier during our monologue, I was trying to intimate the idea to you, friends, that unfortunately, you know, if you got a group of 100 people, 25 are happy with what's going on in the group. Well, you got 75 people that are unhappy. Let's say you got 10 or so or more that are just totally unhappy. You still got yourself a problem. And the leader has to be able to address the entire group's needs. That may mean that you won't be able to make everybody 100% happy. But if you're firm, fair, and consistent with your leadership, with how you approach challenge and issues. See? What did you say, Doctor? Said a good leader understands that you must be in that role with everybody. You can't be partial, impartial to some, impartial to others, but you must be firm, fair, and consistent in what you do for everyone. And they should know that about you. They should know that if, as the leader of a particular group, they come to you for anything, they can trust that you're not going to play games and that you're going to be fair across the board for everybody. That's in the interest of the entire group, you see. Now, if it's just a little clique and you're looking out for the clique, what happens is you create division, can lead to upheaval and breakdown. See? And what has happened is around the country, around the United States of America, there's been a crisis in leadership. Not just in government. There are so many people, I can't tell you how many folk have shared with me as a pastor that they, you know, they're looking for their own journey now. They're not necessarily looking to be a part of a traditional church body or group or congregation because they've seen it all and they've heard a lot. You know, there's no hurt like church hurt, I must tell you. And they ain't got nothing to do with the word of God, but that's with people in general. All right, we go to the phone lines, and I got 6606. Welcome to Talk Straight, caller.
Hey.
What's
how you doing? Joe.
Hey, Joe, how you doing? That long time no here.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's been about a couple of months or so. How you doing?
Pretty good in yourself. They treating you all right, man?
And the world is as it is, you know. If people don't treat you all right, you got to teach them how to. You got to teach them how to treat you all right.
talk to me, Joe. Talk to me, Joe. All right. Well,
you're talking. So, yeah, you're talking about leadership. That all depends upon. What particular organization or group that you're leading. What you were talking about just now is when a leader is of a group that's supposed to look out for that group and provide information and maybe in a sense well-being. I mean, if you're talking about being a pastor or a reverend, that would be what my definition of his particular or her particular leadership would be.
Okay.
Now, for me, a leader, I like the military style of leadership because if you're a good general, you're going to listen to your colonels and you're going to recognize which of the colonels are the most intelligent ones with the best solution for the problem. And then you're going to administer it. And then the people, once you come down with your decision, you don't get, what are you talking about? Hey, I didn't agree to this. No, they follow.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, in the military, you don't have to explain, but if in a well-run organization, you should explain, but at the same time, that's your role. Your role as a leader is to get people to follow you, to do what you want them to do.
That's a great point, Joe. And if I might chime in and add to what you're saying, one of the things that the military go out of their way to do is to make sure that the individual will is not standing in the way of the needs of the military itself. You follow what I'm saying? That's why everybody is uniform. Everybody's uniform. You don't get to pick and choose when and how you go. You go when you're commanded to do so. When you get to command, you do that. Otherwise, we have to do something with you so you don't mess up the unit. Or the military itself. So great point. But now, if we could step outside military for a second, Joe, because in the civilian world, everybody, as you well know, don't have the discipline, do they?
No, they don't. That's why I like the military style of leadership, because there will be people who, you know, who will fuss and fight and say, I don't like this. I want a lunch hour at 5 o'clock. I'm so if I come back late, so what, all that kind of nonsense. But again,
Joe, they say it ain't that serious anyway, man. We just playing. We ain't for real anyway. So it don't matter if we on time or we disciplined.
Oh, yeah, is that right? Well, that's okay. Then I can fire you, you know. Plain and simple, in my organization, like I said, I like to rule with an iron fist and a velvet glove, meaning you do what I have to do. I don't care if you want to hear it as a suggestion or as a recommendation. Do it. Now, at the same time, like I said before, if somebody doesn't like what I have to, you know, like what I'm saying, do what I say and then come back to me and tell me why you don't like it. Because I will listen to anybody who shows me that the direction that I led them in was the wrong direction, as long as they've got proof. You know?
I see. So am I hearing you say that the leader must provide a vision for everybody, right? And part of the way they evaluate their leadership is how well that vision works and benefits everybody. So that's why that's your motivation for doing it. Not just because they're afraid of Joe because he's a boss, but they respect the fact that he has a useful vision. Something that we all
do.
Is that a fair
statement? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But people can have their different ideas of what the vision is, but they're not in control. They're not on the board of directors. They're not they're not department managers. They got to do what they're told. I came to the show tonight because the show is about poor leadership. Now, if you have leadership, right? In corporations or in church or the military, they're not going to listen to the rank and file.
That's
the difference. I believe that everybody should have a voice. And if your voice is good, you will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But if your voice is bad, if you're consistently giving me, you know, whining, or if you're giving me bad ideas, stay where you are, leave me alone.
Well, now, Joe, so if you own your own business, you call the shots. You make the rules, you call the shots. But in a more civil environment where you represent the best interests of your constituents, or let's say democracy. Let's use that as an example, okay? So democracy is about the will of people. And basically that will is expressed where there's a dominant number of everybody that pushes. Everybody may not be happy. You understand what I'm saying? You may not get everything you want in a democracy, but whatever the majority says. Now, that leader has to be able to serve not just the majority, but the minority as well, right? Then they have to be able to.
That's what. That's why we don't have a democracy. That's why we have a republic in which a constitution, just like, you know, is supposed to serve all people. Now, because otherwise, you know what a democracy is by some people's definition? A democracy is where the wolves are just waiting for the sheep, because the wolves have the majority, so they're going to eat up the sheep. In a democracy, the minority doesn't count, because if the majority has the power, the minority is going to suffer. But if you have a republic, a constitution, an overall fair law in which it should benefit all people, like you were talking about, and if the people are not being benefited, then those people have a right to recourse, like arbitration or trial, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way it should be done. You can't listen to the majority of people because unless the majority of people have ideas that also benefit the minority. If the majority doesn't have those kind of ideas, then you've got you've got fascism.
Yeah. I was speaking about George Orwell's book, Animal Farm, and I'm not I imagine you have to deal with it. How in there, when the animals decide they're going to take over the farm, they relied on the pigs because they felt like they're the smartest, the most intelligent.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know better than the rest of it. But what they didn't realize is that the pigs had their own individual agenda. I think about how Napoleon, one of the pigs, Napoleon, took these little puppies and raised them up to be vicious guard dogs for him when it's time came. That's how he was able to maintain control over people. I'm concerned, Joe, that in 2024, not just in church or not just in government, but in another way, a lot of ways, people have lost confidence in leadership, man, and they have just said, you know what, I'm going to just do me and forget everybody else. And it becomes a dog-eat-dog situation like that. What do you think about that?
I think you're on the right track. I think a lot of people, when they are disgruntled with government, they don't know what to do, okay?
Right.
So they do kind of become like, I wouldn't want to say lone rangers, because lone ranger has a good connotation, but they become almost vigilantes. And they don't care about other people because they've always relied on governmental officials to tell them the truth and to look after them.
Yes,
we should not do that. We should always be wary of people in government. As far as I'm concerned, they will always look. Well, I mean, take a look at any election, right? Why is an individual who's getting paid $139,000 a year, why does he need a $2 million contribution from a company? You don't think that company is pulling the strings on this guy?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you make a great point. So now, yes, I agree with you. And so that company is going to have the loudest voice. That's what you're saying, right? When it comes to your leading policies and decisions, that company is going to have the loudest voice in your ear.
Absolutely.
The little man, you ain't going to hear the little man. And that's what I'm saying, that authentic leadership requires that you have the ability to hear everybody, right? And to be able sometimes to tell the big fish in the little pond, hey, no. You get out the way, let the little ones play. Let the little ones swim now. You done swam already. Get back. Let them swim.
Mm-hmm.
But a good leader has to be able to do that. You understand? And that may mean I'm going to lose all that money. That's what you're talking about. I'm going to lose all that money if I don't make the big money happen.
That's right. And all these politicians, they want to stay in office. I mean, a lot of these people were probably geeks before they got into office. All of a sudden, now they're walking down the corridors of power, and everybody's saying, hello, Senator. Hello, Congressman. Oh, you smell nice today. You look good today. Oh, that was a very good speech. You know, and all of a sudden, these people think that, hey, you know what? I'm a pretty bossy guy, you know. No, you're not. You got elected to office because the Republicans or the Democratic National Committee, they selected you. They fooled the public into voting for you because you have a nice head of hair or you're pretty. What? And you got into office. And now you got to do what the leadership on Capitol Hill tells you to do.
Not what's best for the people, but what they tell you to do.
That's right.
Right.
Name me a law that was passed because a congressman or a senator saw what was going on, saw that it hurt the people, and did it on his own. Or do you think, like I think, that almost every law that's passed is done as a result of either activism by the people to force the government to do what they want, or the law was passed in order to benefit lobbyists. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, a law needs to be passed to ban lobbyists and, in my opinion, get rid of and impose some term limits so that you don't have the same people able to keep on running the same game. That's my opinion. Now, that's just my position, that term limits hurts the ability for a leader to be fair and honest with everybody. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that argument before. I take the other side. I say that it doesn't matter. because it doesn't matter who you get out, because the next person coming in is just going to be a doppelganger of the moron that you voted out.
Well, so wouldn't that motivate them, though? I've run for office a few times myself, but wouldn't that force them, if they knew that they had a limited amount of time to be there, wouldn't that force them to do right, though? You know what I'm saying? Isn't that a motivation for them to make sure that they keep their promise? Whatever your platform is, whatever you promise, you do that, or you're found trying at least. Isn't that a motivation there, Joe?
No. You know what I think it is? I think it's motivation to get as much money as possible in the shortest time possible. Because, you know why? Because once they get into office, they got 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. They can do a lot of damage in 4 years and accumulate a lot of money. Now, remember, if we had term limits, right, now the lobbyists know that the person that is in office now only has 4 years. So the lobbyists are in a rush to get that politician to do what he wants before he gets out of office, because the next guy that comes in, you know, he may not be as good as being a thief as the last guy.
Now, so let me say something, Joe. I hear where you're coming from. When I ran, I've always run as an independent. I don't belong to any party. And I was sitting next to a guy that was a Democrat, diehard Democrat, right? And and I said to everybody, I said that I'm an advocate. I'm not a politician. I'm an advocate for people. He says, my friend right here needs to quit saying that. We're all a politician. Now, I understood what he was saying.
Right.
That we're running in a political race. I get that. But when I said I wasn't a politician, to your point, I'm not somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear so I can get your money and your support and your vote and then do something totally different. I don't believe in that. You know what I mean? Honestly, I've had people come to me to say, hey, if you do X, Y, and Z, we'll guarantee you money and we'll knock doors for you. And I just couldn't lie to them like that, Joe. Because at the end of the day, in my view, if you win a race, you should look out for everybody in your district or that you're supposed to be providing leadership for. And it may make some of the people that gave you money mad if you do that. That's what you're saying, really. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what you're saying. Because nobody's going to come along and give you $5 million if you say, no, I'm abiding by the Constitution. Thanks. I'll listen to you, but I don't need your money. And if I get elected, I will, you know, do what you want me to do if what you want me to do also benefits people without spending too much money, invoking too much of taxes, and that's what I'm all about. Now, an honest person will not mind term limits, you know, because they want to stay in there for 20 years, but if they say, well, okay, I'll try to do my best for 4 years, and if I don't get reelected, then I get out. But the system will change. It will adapt. Yeah, I mean, rather, it will adapt to the, you know, to the new snakes coming in. It will just retrain them. That's all.
Don't call everybody a snake. Everybody ain't a snake, man. Come on, man. Some of us are lizards.
Really?
Everybody's not a snake, man. Some people are lizards, man.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I think everybody running for office, if they've got the money behind them from the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, you know, they're a snake. Now, running independent, I'm a libertarian, so we always run as independents.
Okay.
We run as a libertarian party.
But
the libertarians, if you've ever seen them, a lot of them belong in mental institutions. You know, that's why we've never gotten ourselves together. They're just nuts. They're crazy. They are. I know a few. They're crazy. You know.
Well,
and
let me say this.
Yeah.
Let me say this about that. I do appreciate libertarian ideals to this extent, that they recognize that if First Amendment and the rights of the people enshrined in the Constitution are going to be real, that the government shouldn't be able to make any kind of laws. I never will forget having a long conversation years ago about seatbelts. Remember when they put the seatbelt come along in the, what, 40s or 50s or so, something like that? And the argument was that the government has an impelling interest for public safety to make you put a seatbelt on, even if you don't want to put one on.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember that argument.
But then again, as an individual, I should be able to choose whether or not I want to follow your recommendation and not have it forced on me. Kind of like some of the COVID measures that we saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that goes in a lot of others, bleeds in a lot of other things. But the point is that you're right. Sometimes I found that my libertarian friends have a tendency to go so far that they can't hear nothing else other than what they're saying. And I think that's where they step on their own tail, with all due respect.
No, I agree. I mean, you're actually being benign towards them. When I said they're nuts, I mean, I know a few of them. When they talk about politics and certain aspects of it, you know, you say, holy geez, I mean, are you on drugs? You know, it's just nuts. But
right.
I do believe that governments should stay out of the way. Now, seatbelts is a good example. Now, here's what libertarians would say about that. Even though seatbelts might save your life or might save the life of another, the government should not impose its restrictions on you because it's your individual safety, which is your responsibility. If you give it to the government, the government's going to run with it, and it's going to be a slippery slope, and then they're going to use that as a reason to impose more laws, which are more draconian. And that's where we are today. Every time you turn around, you're committing a crime. There's somebody who wrote a book for the, like, 6 million laws, or I forget the name, but almost literally anything that you do is a crime. Now, how about this? If you mistake a woman, let's say a biological man who wants to be called they, who wants to be thought of as a woman. Now, if he walks in, right, and he's got a beard, and you misgender him and you call him Stir, do you know in the United, in Britain, just about a week ago, they convicted a guy of misgendering as a hate crime? This could happen over
is
here.
Is that? I hope not. I sure hope not.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
It will.
And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to use the example of insurance industries now are using data from the auto industry. Most of the newer cars are made now where they're able to track your pattern of driving if you brake too hard or you speed or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling that to the insurance industry, and that's how they're able – many people get their rates raised as a result. And you're like, well – you know, oftentimes they ask you, do you want to get a discount by, you know, allowing them to keep up with you? If you say no, there's still a way that they can buy that from you. But that crept in, I would argue, when the government allowed them to come up with certain other regulations like seatbelts. I know it's in the interest of your safety, but it can be manipulated, abused. That's the only thing, you know. FISA laws have been abused big time.
Right, and with reference to the cars, you can't, they say, I think, was it by 2025 or in the very near future, you're not allowed to buy a fossil fuel car. You have to buy an electric vehicle. They're imposing that on you, saying that it's because of climate change.
Yeah, and it's just
impressive. It's all nonsense.
Yeah, it's just impressive, you know. I know of some people. I'm originally from Chicago. They were up there, man. And when it got real cold in Chicago, their car was stuck on the street. They were walking in the car. They were the electric.
Oh, I mean, I heard about Chicago. I heard about the Hawk in Chicago. That's the Windy City, all right.
Man, they were driving and the car literally froze up on them, man. The electric vehicle, one of those Teslas. I was like, wow, how'd you feel now? Guess what he wound up doing? He wound up going back getting his vehicle.
He did, huh? Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying about the slippery slope. You can't – the best government is a government that just protects you and allows you to do what you want to do as long as you don't encroach upon the rights of others. You need the government to protect you from assault and battery, slander, defamation, thievery. You don't need the government to tell you to wear a seatbelt or to buy a car, you know. Because that's
now,
slippery slope.
It is. I listened to the Supreme Court argument of the relative to the Biden administration telling social media companies, dictating to them certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the discussion interesting on both sides. And what it really boiled down to is, at what point do even if the government said, I'm looking out for the best interest of everybody, at what point do you lose your constitutional rights in the First and Tenth Amendment, particularly First Amendment, your free speech rights? When do you lose that?
Well, the censorship, for one. How about on Twitter? You know, you or on YouTube. If you offend somebody because you don't agree with their particular principles, or you say some kind of obnoxious word that offends somebody. Now, should you be obnoxious? No. But should the government come in and force the companies to censor your speech?
Right.
No.
Right.
Let the companies do it on their own. Also, I mean, I've been in forums. I mean, some forums have a switch. Like, if you don't want to hear what a person's saying because they're obnoxious, you don't have to listen to them. But to have the government say, if you say this word again, you're going to jail. That's overstepping the bounds of the Constitution.
Yeah. I remember Robert Redford had a commercial back in the 70s and 80s where he had this Duracell Betty on his shoulder, and he dared anybody to knock it off.
Was that Robert Redford, or was that the guy from the Wild Wild West?
No, I think that was Robert Redford. I'm pretty sure that he
Robert Conrad.
Conrad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I remember that commercial.
It's that Bravo mentality, man, where you know the government's gonna make you do something, or anybody for them. Leadership is not about you using a position to control anyone for your own purpose and your own end. But when you when you have the ability to work with people and they're motivated to follow you and to do as you direct because they trust in your leadership characteristics, then you got yourself something. You know, we can do something then. We can go somewhere.
I agree with you. And it doesn't that doesn't conflict with my philosophy. The thing is that if you have a vision, you want people to follow your vision, but then people being who they are, they believe that they should have a voice in that when they shouldn't have a voice, or they should disagree with you when it's not the time to disagree with you, and they don't have anything to offer. So they want to they want to gum up the works. So those people don't want to follow the vision because obviously they don't like the personality of the leader, or they don't like something about the leader. No, that's when you have a leader that says, Mr. Jones, you're getting paid to do this, but I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree. Mm-hmm. You're not being paid to agree. If you have something which is of value to the company, here's a suggestion box. If your suggestion is worthwhile, you will be paid for it. In the meantime, you have to do what management tells you to do. But I don't like management. I don't like her. I don't like him.
Maybe this ain't the place for you then, is it?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need to be
here. Don't go eat. You don't need to be here, you know?
Right.
Now, if the person doesn't like the colleague because that colleague is truly obnoxious, that's different. But this Me Too movement where you compliment some chick on her shoes and she can now go to HR and report you for sexual harassment, kiss my ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never will forget. I was supervisor at a facility, and it was a detention facility for male youth. And long story short, one of my gentlemen had the same rank as I did, but I was the shift supervisor for the weekend. And so we had 144 children and about 60 staff that I was responsible. Anything went good, it was on me. It went bad, it was on me, right? And so the other guy, same rank as me, came in and he questioned how I was running the shift. And I said to him, well, we're not doing it that way. That's how we're going to do it. Long story short, he says, well, if you want your people to work for us, hold on now. We all work for the same boss, for the state of Tennessee. Anytime you decide you don't want to go to work, let me know. I'll punch you out, and I'll let your supervisor know why I sent you home. Because it ain't, you know. But we're a team, and you know who put me in the role I'm in. And I know who put you where you are. Your job is to follow me. My job is to lead you. Now, we ain't, like you said.
And I'm with you. I am with you. I mean, there's only one quarterback.
Uh-oh. Yes, sir. When we call that audible,
now,
I'll get you that.
Now, if that was me, right now, if the guy didn't like me, I would say, look, if you have a problem with my policies or my decision-making, then talk it over. If you don't want to talk it over with me, complain about me to the boss with proof. We can sit down. But if you complain about me 3 times in 3 months and you can't prove that my leadership is poor, I'm going to recommend that you get fired.
Hey. I mean, you know, the bottom line is it's important that a good leader understands that you must make sure that you are authentic and people understand that you have a duty, a responsibility, right? And like I say, everybody may not be 100% happy with your decision-makings and what have you, but you, if you're firm, fair, and consistent, you should do all right.
You should do all right, especially if the vision, you know, it all depends upon the recruiting, the vetting, which is part of the recruiting, and being fair. Now, you will get people who will just be dissatisfied over everything and anything, the malcontents. Goodbye. Nice of you to come. You're lucky you had a job to begin with. Now go back to the streets. Simple.
Right. We're going to promote you back to the streets.
Yeah. If you are satisfied with the streets, you can go back. Yeah.
Right.
You know? Oh, yeah. I like that one. I'm going to promote you to the streets. What?
Hey, man. Hey. Find you something else to do. But, Joe, I sure appreciate it, man. I got to crunch some more numbers tonight, so our show can go half, but we're going to cut it off at 8 o'clock here. But anything further you want to share with us before we leave? I sure appreciate your dialogue here.
No, because I agree with you 100%. I would like to meet more managers like myself where, you know, the iron fist inside the velvet glove.
Uh-huh.
You do what I tell you. But if you don't like it, come to me and we'll see what we can do. But, you know, if you still don't like it, hey, I still got the iron fist, you know? So that's all I want to say. What's your topic going to be next week?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. We try to keep things in with current events, basically. And that was one of the things I read an article, and I listened to the Supreme Court and read an article about a couple other things relative to leadership, and there seemed to be a crisis there. So we may have something related to that. But did you have something in mind?
Okay.
I'd be happy to put something together.
Well, no, I think the leadership, I think any topic that you pick, especially if it's about current events and if it's about the corruption in government, because I don't think there's anything. I have a show, but I don't put it on except once in a blue moon. And I only talk about relationships now, you know, only relationships. I don't talk about politics anymore because, And that's one of the most important things in America is politics, but everybody's talking about it and not really doing anything about it. So I'd rather talk about relationships, and that's it. But whatever the topic is, I'm sure that's going to be interesting. I'll look you up again next week, and so hopefully I'll see you then.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, my friend.
Sir. All right. I'll talk to you later. Take care.
All right. All right, bye-bye. So you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we were talking from the topic of losing faith in leadership on many levels. Let me say this. Leadership is important, and if there's a way, as my friend was just saying, that things can be made to be improved or better, I think we all should do that. And a good leader is open to good suggestions, right, and evaluation and things of that nature. So we certainly appreciate all of you that have followed us here on Facebook or on Blog Talk Radio, my good friend Joe out of California there. And we'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing, Central Time, for another episode of Talk Straight. And feel free to off-air, shoot me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give me a call, 615-498-4669 or 615-942-6816. And we'll be happy to entertain discussions afterward. Just drop something in there. We'll respond to you accordingly. All right. Well, we thank you again for joining us tonight. And you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We'll see you next week. We're going to leave out here with Eric B. and Rakim. They say, follow the leader. Follow the loser. It can't be Mr. Loser. It can't be Tate Swift. It's a weapon if you get involved in. Oh, yeah. Step right up. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. I can't believe. Follow the leader. I can't believe. Follow the leader. I can't believe. Follow the leader. I'm purified freestyle. Learn some fury. My third eye makes me shine like jury. Put your spread around it. Your rhymes are minimate. I'll be here when it fades. I watch it flip like a renegade. I can't wait to break and eliminate. On every trade of a snake, so stay away and follow and follow. Because the tempo's a trail. The stage is a cage. The mic is a third rail. I rock him. The speed of a microphone. I'm not